It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back, quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle back with you. Special guest just rolled in out of bed. He's still in his pajamas, I think. Todd Sadowski from Fox 43. You know him from, when was the last time you were on? Late spring?
It's been a little while, absolutely. But it's always great to join you guys. And look, I work nights, okay? Cut me some slack with morning hours. And
I won't.
But, you know, look, there's a lot to talk about, right? I mean, when it's 79-7, there's quite a few things to discuss. A
lot of positive things. Later in this week, we're going to do a stock up, stock down. I had to really stretch for some stock down, but I got there. So, Todd, you join us. We're in the Labatt Blue studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. I don't know if you've been in the Labatt Blue studio before. It's gorgeous. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We talked, you know, we started with some of the bigger themes from Penn State Idaho. 79 points. Obviously, we talked a lot about offense. We haven't talked about defense so much yet. That might have been the biggest storyline of all, I think. The most applicable storyline to the rest of the season. What jumped off the page to you as you're watching this game? You're seeing a lot of new faces. You're seeing a big new face at quarterback in Sean Clifford.
Well, one of the things that I was looking for was for the secondary to not make many tackles. Okay, when you face a team like Idaho and you talk about the front seven and you're talking about the defensive line and the linebackers, you don't want vandals running around in your secondary with guys from safeties and cornerbacks having to make tackles. And, you know, if it gets past the defensive lineman, the linebackers should be talented enough, quick enough. We talked about how fast they're going to be and that type of stuff. And they were. So we didn't see John Reed making a ton of tackles. You didn't see Garrett Taylor and Lamont Wade having to make a lot of tackles, a few here and there. But that defense is going to be good. You know, overall, theme-wise, I think most people think it's going to take the offense a little bit to find the rhythm, to find their groove. It took a little bit in the first quarter for Clifford to kind of settle down and find some open receivers because they were wide open all over the place, especially early. So I was pleased to see that. And I think the defense is going to have to carry the day for September and give Clifford and the offense a chance to find that rhythm. And that's what we saw. I mean, Brandon Smith laid a couple of big hits. He looks good. And, you know, I just think that's, for me, that's what I was looking for from a defensive end, from a defensive perspective. Offensively, I mean, if you can't move the ball on Idaho, there's something wrong. And four running backs, though, I know Nick Urie scored, but there was basically four running backs that they're looking at to move the ball. And Devin Ford is Noah Cain. I mean, these guys made an impact right away. So that's obviously going to create that competition for Journey Brown and Ricky Slade in practice every day.
Yeah, I walked into this game not really having a good idea of how that backfield situation would evolve. I didn't walk out with any other conclusion. You know, I think we go into Buffalo again looking for some breadcrumbs, looking for some clues. Running back's not the only position that's the case, but it's one where it'll be really interesting where Ricky Slade – I think Ricky Slade will emerge as the leader of this group. I think that, you know, the order in which these guys were used against Idaho might be indicative of how they will be used going forward. Ricky Slade technically had the least success of all of them. I don't think that means much. It took a little bit to break through, and by that time they had moved on, and Journey Brown had gotten his, and Kane had gotten his, Devin Ford had gotten his. So it's an interesting group where they're all bringing something a little different to the table. I just wonder how many of these guys can you feasibly use in games that are not blowouts, and that's something we're going to have to continue to watch.
Well, right, and you got the new red shirt rules where you can play guys a couple of games and then still red shirt them. So I don't know what their plans may be, but this was a perfect game to empty the bench. I joked around with Steve Jones, who calls the games. I said, look, the most difficult thing about Saturday I want is for you to be going so deep onto your roster that you're double-checking yourself, you know, and Steve knows all the guys and all the numbers and stuff like that. But, I mean, they emptied the bench and everybody got in there. It was awesome to see Michael Schuster engineer the last scoring drive that Urie scored on the touchdown. down. And so, you know, this, it was, who says there's not scrimmages in college football is basically what it amounted to as far as getting all these guys some reps and some time on the field.
And it's good. I mean, it's good. I love the red shirt rule for that. I'm watching this game and you're seeing them. They're not waiting until the fourth quarter, the third, they had a plan and committed to that plan to run through a bunch of guys really from the jump. You saw all kinds of different rotations. And I thought that was interesting to see. Let's talk about that defense, though, because they should have pitched a shutout. They got stuck in a short field situation because of a botched punt that James Franklin is still probably a little sore about. Like I'd imagine when you're getting late into a game and you have something like that happen and it costs you a shutout.
Just go back and watch the BTN tape of it when he's standing over there, hands on hip. He was not a happy camper.
Yeah, Mac Hippenhammer. The only real sore spot in this game. But this defense, again, I know, you know, I was not wowed by the quarterback play of Idaho. I was wowed by the size of their second quarterback. I will say that. It's like the late Jared Lorenzen is back, the hefty righty, as it were. But, you know, this defense, I think, showed, you know, speed-wise, athleticism-wise, I think they're going to be a real handful off the edge against most teams. They could not be contained against this team. I thought it was interesting. Not that this is a new concept, but they are uniquely equipped on third and long situations to get three or four defensive ends on the field because Yetur Gross-Matos can hold his own at the point of attack as a tackle. That could be a dangerous thing too. They're throwing a lot at you up front and in that linebacker core. Everything we thought this group could be, at least against Idaho, they look like they were exactly it.
You know the thing that struck me most? How many times are you going to beat a team 79-7 and have one tackle for Micah Parsons? I mean, that tells you basically all you need to know about this game, that the defense was so good and he didn't need to play so much that he had one tackle and they gave up 7 points, and the 7 points really came against probably the mixture of the second and third team defenses. I mean, I thought it was interesting to see Shaka Toney get out there and run around. He was a guy I was really interested to see if everything we heard about him would translate to game day. I thought it did. I thought he looked great.
That sack where he clutched the jersey, held on, and then came and finished the job was impressive.
Yeah.
I don't care who the quarterback was.
He abused the offensive lineman and then the quarterback as well. And, you know, two things stood out to what Dustin said. One is I think he laid the 75 points and was upset that they actually got, you know, they didn't cover 75 for that touchdown. But also, I think the play that really stood out for me defensively, you touched on, was Gross-Matos at tackle. I mean, if you're the guard and all of a sudden you're going, wait a second, that guy's not supposed to be in front of me. He's supposed to be in front of the guy next to me.
Well, in the guard's defense, Gross-Matos was not in front of him for very long. He was behind him.
I mean, and he was just like, it was like the new easy pass. He just let him go right through, right to the quarterback. But, you know, he had to be his eyes wide open going, this guy is not supposed to be in front of me. And he just went right past him. And so, yeah, they've got options. They've got bodies to roll in there and you know, to show more of those looks on film for other teams. And for that guy to be moved around, even if you move him to the left side, even if he's staying at defensive end, you move him to the left side. How many times have we seen that? You know, teams deploy their best defensive guy and move him around so that offensive coordinators, it's a nightmare for him trying to prepare.
And, you know, that fast package on third and long, imagine just Yetur Gross-Matos at tackle, Shaka Toney on one side, Jason Owe on the other side. The amount of speed and number of one-on-one matchups where you have that quickness advantage, boy, that's going to be fun to watch. I thought that was one of the most tangible takeaways is that, yeah, we saw that last year, but not only is Yetur Gross-Matos better, he's bigger, he's better equipped, he's a better player all around. I think that package could be a real problem. What do we think about the defensive tackles? I know Damian Barber, our local guy, not seeing the field was an interesting part of that. I don't really know that there was an explanation for that, but
not yet.
But you saw them mix and match just like you saw at safety, where you know Lamont Wade and Garrett Taylor were the starting combo. You saw Wade and Sutherland out there. You saw Wade and Taylor. You saw Taylor and Sutherland. You saw all kinds of different get different guys mashing up at defensive tackle too. But I don't think this group is going to be a liability. We'll see. I think Buffalo is going to be an interesting test because they're going to try to run the football on these guys. But I think defensive tackle so far so good.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think it's interesting that, you know, Barber was in pads and didn't see any time when literally I would say 90% of the roster had opportunity to get on the field. So I thought that was notable. But you know, we'll try and figure that out later this week. But other than that, I think when you look at the defensive tackle play, I thought it was okay. You know, I didn't love that Antonio Shelton. I know these guys had limited reps, but Antonio Shelton and Robert Windsor combined for two tackles. To Todd's point, I mean, sometimes they were just getting beat to the backfield by the defensive ends, and I think they probably graded out better than what the stat sheet indicates. But I would have expected a little bit more out of those guys. PJ Mustipher, I mean, it's probably only a matter of time, guys, until he's named a starter at defensive tackle. I just think that it's either going to be that, or it turns into a Micah Parsons 2018 situation where he's the second teamer, but he plays more than the first
teamer.
Honestly,
I believe that that's going to be the case.
Okay.
I don't know that Antonio Shelton's going to really do anything to merit a demotion. I just think that you're going to see I think you're going to see Mustipher play more and more snaps as the year goes on, as he should. You know, he's a pretty special player, and I think that you need to get your most special players on the field more often. What did we see from, you know, some of the newcomers? Like, we saw a lot of these faces. Like, in brief duty, I thought Weston Carr was an interesting player. Jordan Stout, obviously, kicking balls out of the end zone and kick coming in. And not only, you know, kicking that 53-yard field goal, that was an interesting thing in its own right, too, to think that out from 50 out, you're going to bring this guy in. I suspect that that's going to be the case all year, but he's a weapon, you know, and Penn State was weaponized so many times in the special teams game last year. It's nice to see them have a weapon of their own.
No doubt. One of my favorite plays of the game, I don't know, we had 50 some on the board already, was Stout kicking it, and it went over and out of the end zone and hit a security guard in the back. And he turned around and was like, what happened there? What happened there was a touchback, and absolutely nothing happened after that. And that's what needs to happen. Look, when you're fully equipped with scholarships, one of them should go to the guy who can kick it through the uprights on a kickoff and just kick it out of there. And there's no reason this should be brought back. I mean, there's got to be a kid in the country, right, that can hit you a touchback and give him a scholarship because it's worth it. It saves you so much headache and trouble on a special teams perspective. And we've seen it. We've seen them get burnt the last few years by kick returns and field position in important games.
Yeah, when you hear Joe Lurie talk about change the game, which is his motto, that the thing he brought to Penn State, Jordan Stout changes the game, guys. There's no question about that. I mean, I enjoyed watching him kick it at Joe Herman, our buddy, and I think that Joe's getting some hazing from the fans. So if you were one of those folks, thank you for doing that. But I mean, the guy, how many times did we see them struggle, including last year's opener against App State with kickoff return coverage? I mean, it was ugly at times.
Lot of times only bad can come from that.
Right, and they should never
have to worry
about it.
You're not making a lot of impact plays as your coverage team.
Yep.
So the more opportunities you can prevent, the better off you are. And Jordan Stout brings that to the table.
And I love it. I looked at the stat sheet. What jumps off the page? We had 820 kicking yards from 13 kickoffs. That's incredible.
That's a big number. All right, we're going to hear directly from James Franklin in just a moment. He'll touch on some of the big themes from Idaho.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.